let it flow, Father God. We will not move, Lord God, until you tell us to move. Father, see our hearts. We're hungry for you, Lord. Because in your presence, there's no other place I'd rather be. You see, this world cannot define what we experience. It cannot be uttered in words or in speech. Because when you're in the presence of God, His glory,
yes,
will never be understood. We stand in awe of you, God, this morning. Father God, I pray for the word. I pray that you would anoint me, Lord. I humble myself, Lord. Cannot do this without you, Lord. This is your church, Lord God. This is your platform. I'm just here as your servant, Lord. We give you praise and glory. God's people said, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated if you can. Amen. Dell, hit the white lights, would you? The white light. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You know how difficult it is to come up here? Times to come after that. And how many know God's good? Amen. Give him a hand. Amen. Well, in the last couple weeks, and Hugo, thank you, and I think we're good, Dominic, this time around. We're going to get right into the preaching of this message. Ben, thank you. Keep on seeking God to be fluid. That will be my word for you this year. Fluid, fluid, fluid. Amen, amen. For the last 3 weeks, we've covered this topic on dangerous prayers. And for those that missed, I just want to cover that a little bit because it was so important and vital to where this church is going and how our people are being fed. If you remember in week one, we learned how to pray, search me, God. Know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. And if there's any offensive way in me, lead me in the way of everlasting. That was David who prayed Psalms 139. The week after, we talked about this dangerous prayer, God, break me. How many know it's not a good prayer? And it's not something that we want to pray. God, break us. God, aren't we broken enough? But this is what I needed you to understand out of that message is this. God, when he breaks us, sometimes it leads us to an intimate relationship that we would have never experienced until we were broken on the other side of that brokenness. Last week, we covered this dangerous prayer where we prayed, God, I'm available. Send me. And I know what most of you were thinking last week. Well, if I pray a prayer like that, he may send me to Africa. And you know, there's no guarantees. But he may send you to your work environment. Because how many know that that's important too? And sometimes God wants you to touch the lives of people that are already in front of you. And so we prayed these dangerous prayers. And so it really led up to the series that we're going to talk about today. The book of Hosea. Not very many sermons out there on the book of Hosea, and you'll see why. But as I was going through this series, the Lord showed us some things. But before we go there, let me just kick off this sermon by this. Let me ask you, how many of you remember your very first car? How many, do you remember your first car? Come on, everybody needs to remember their first car, all right? For me, Dell, I think I have a picture of it up here. There it is. All right. For years, I would call, I know it's not called this, okay? Thank you, brother. Appreciate that, you know. I would call it my Ford Fiesta, because that's what it was. It was a party vehicle. Now, my parents had bought this thing. Don't judge me, all right? Don't judge. Let me tell you, my parents bought me this vehicle, and it was used, okay? I think it was 84 or 82, and it was a good thing that it was used, because I treated this car as if it was indestructible. I mean, I treated it like it was a tank. I mean, that's what it looked like. If I could show you the picture, it was against the law to take a picture of it because it just didn't have a bumper by the time I was done with it. It had dents in it. It had a broken windshield. I mean, I had taken this thing, and I did treat it like a tank. It could go anywhere, I thought. Anytime it would get stuck in the mud or the snow, my friends would come out or get out of the car, and we would literally pick up this little car and put it back on the road. I mean, it was an awesome crossroads vehicle, okay? We made it crossroads before crossroads was even popular. We were able to pick up this little car and put it back on the road. This poor little car, I drove it into the ground. Now, this little red car haunts me even today. You know why? Because every time I see a red car, guess what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking about this little thing that I ran into the ground. I was so close to it. It was by far the most, to me, the most memorable vehicle that I've ever had. And I've had a lot of vehicles, but this little red car, every time I see a red car, it reminds me of this car. And here's my point. And get this. Sometimes you can get so close to something that you can't see past it. Did you get that? Sometimes you can get so close to something that you can't see past it. We've all experienced this in our lives. We can focus on something that we lose sight for what it really is. And we do this in our lives. We focus on the past, you know, how we were, instead of focusing on how far we've come or how far we've overcome. And this is why we're going to talk about this book of Hosea. So before we start, I'm going to pray. Usually we read a scripture, but we're not going to do that this Sunday. But I'd like to go ahead and pray for God's anointing, that he would open our ears and that we would receive what he has us to receive. Father God, again, we humble ourselves upon your throne, Father. Father God, it's not me, it's all about you, Lord. Help me, Father God, to articulate the words that I need to say, Lord. Father God, anoint my mouth, anoint my mind, Father God. And Father God, if I have come and have sinned against you, forgive me, Lord God. Give me grace, Lord God. I'm here to serve you. I am your under-shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, most of you, and here at LifePoint, it doesn't matter how new you are in the Christian walk with God, or if you've been walking with God many years, we're always going to break things down to simplify things for you. I believe it's very important because so often we forget about the young Christians that don't even know what Hosea was and what did he do. So what I'd like to do is just break it down for you today, okay? So we're talking about Hosea, who was a minor prophet in the Bible. Let me give you some background. It takes place in 750 B.C. Israel is divided into two kingdoms, okay? So you have the North Kingdom here, and you have the South Kingdom, okay? Now, the South Kingdom, for the most part, stayed with God and followed his ways. Now, the North part were very religious and very wealthy. They knew all about God, but they wanted nothing to do with him. In fact, you might have heard it, they worship the idol Baal. Now, who was Baal? who is basically a man figure that stood about 12 feet tall, of course, made by man, with a cow's head on it with horns. Now, there's something that is well known about this worship to this God. And it was this. It was the practice of children sacrifice. A very evil practice. Now, some of us, eight of us, are going to Israel this year. We will actually go to a place where all these things were done. And it's the same backdrop that Jesus said to Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And he says, "You are Lord God of the living God." Amen. And so it pictures this. And so this is not a good person to worship. So God sent a man by the name of Hosea to preach to them. And you say, what? Yes, God sent Hosea to go and preach to them, to a people that did not want to know him. And before I move on, I need to tell you that the book of Hosea, like a lot of Old Testament books, can be complicated. But I'm going to do my very best to teach you that in the Old Testament, you always have to take it to what I call three-dimensional. There are different levels in reading the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, that you need to be aware of. There's a lot of symbolism that happens in the Old Testament. And so let me break this down for you a little bit. First of all, the first level or the first dimension is this. It's the story itself, okay? It's the story on the surface. It's what you read. The second level is throughout the Bible, you'll find this second dimension is mostly about Israel, okay? And then the third level or the third dimension of these Old Testament books is the story of Christ and what he's about to do or what he's done, okay? Three levels. And as you read the book of Hosea, is a prime example that you have to apply all these three levels. The first one, it's the story itself. The second is the story of Israel. And the third is the story of what Jesus did for us. For example, the word Hosea translated means salvation. Don't miss this. God sends salvation to people who were not interested in him or even being saved. The reason why this moves me so much, because that's my story and that's your story. And it's because of this. There's nobody in this room that can ever say that you went looking for God. The bottom line is that God came looking for you. And I'll show you what I mean by that. So he sends Hosea by the name which means salvation, to preach to a people that were far, far off from him. So this is what's interesting. God calls Hosea to go and preach before them, and then he says to Hosea, before you go, I want you to take a wife. Now, most of you are sitting there, and this is a good thing. I'm sure Hosea is thinking this is a good thing. But this is the thing. Let's read it in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. When the Lord first spoke to Hosea, the Lord told him, marry a prostitute and have children with the prostitute. Wait a minute here. Let's just stop here, God. God, I know you're God, but I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. I'm sure that's what he was saying. Could you just repeat that one more time? And the verse continues to say, and this is the second level. Remember the first level? Here's the second level. The people in this land have acted like prostitutes and have abandoned the Lord. Now, how do you go and explain this to your friends? How do you go and explain this to your family? The Lord told me to go marry a prostitute. I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to marry a prostitute. I'm sure those conversations were interesting, to say the least. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I need you to understand. Following Jesus isn't always easy. Sometimes he's going to ask us to do things that we're not going to understand. Sometimes he's going to ask us to do things that everyone around us is not going to understand or approve. Listen, when our goal is to understand and follow the opinions of this world more than Jesus, once you understand this, we will become ineffective to make an impact in this world. When our concerns are more of this world than they are upon God. So God tells Hosea, marry a prostitute. And it gets worse. It gets worse. In verse 3, read along with me. It says, so Hosea married Gomer. Come on. Really, Gomer? Why not Martha? Why not Sarah? Why not Ruth? Why not Princess Leah? You know? Why Gomer? When you think about Gomer, it's not a name that you really think it's beautiful. But let me tell you something. The word Gomer translated means completion. Don't miss this. Hosea means salvation, and Gomer means completion. So God put salvation together with completion because we are never complete without salvation. Isn't that good? Now that's the third dimension of that verse. Salvation is never without completion. It's no wonder that we get the connection here through Jesus when he gave his salvation. He gave us salvation through his death. It's no wonder that Jesus' last words on the cross before he died, his last breath, he said, it is finished. Translation, it is completed. It is paid for. Salvation and completion. We read on in verse 3, it says this. She became pregnant and had a son, and the Lord told Hosea, name him Israel, which means judgment. So do you see the picture here now? Now you have salvation, now you have completion, and you have judgment. And throughout the New Testament, you know that is the story. You have salvation, completion, and judgment. And make no mistake, church, God will come and judge the sins of this world. Because when it comes to sin, this is what I know. Someone's going to pay. Someone's got to pay for sin. It's either going to be paid by you, or it's, if you're a believer here today, it's already been paid for through Jesus Christ. Now in verse 6, as we read along, Gomer became pregnant again and had a daughter. You might be sitting back and saying, well, this is a good thing, but it's not, because you see, this child was born outside of Hosea's loins. It was not his. And this is what the Lord said in verse 6, as we continue, the Lord told Hosea, name her Lo-Ruhamah, which means unloved. And here's the second dimension. He says, I will no longer love the nation of Israel. I will no longer forgive them. Yet I will love the descendants of Judah. Now, who was Judah? It was that southern kingdom. You see, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. God says, I will not love the southern kingdom. Judah, I will rescue them because I am the Lord their God. In verse 8, it says, after Gomer had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she became pregnant again, and again was not his child. And the Lord said, name him Lo-Emi, not my people. You are no longer my people, and I am no longer your God. And he's speaking to Israel here. You see the correlation, how this story fits together? This is some serious stuff. And the word doesn't tell us what happened or how long this took place. But what we do know is that Gomer kept on falling back to her past. Gomer kept on going back to her past. And I'm sure she told herself many times, like many of you, time after time, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to do that again. We all have plans never to return to our bad habits and our behaviors and our attitudes and the old sin. But here's the thing. And this is a true statement. If you're honest with yourself, your past has a way of sneaking up on you in your present. And that's exactly what happened to Gomer. You see, the parallel story in this story is that God, it's not God's fault that he walked away from Israel. Israel walked away from God. The same can be said that when on that day of judgment, when judgment falls on those who don't know him as Savior and Lord, God will say these words. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn there. And it's Luke chapter 13, verses 24 and following. Luke chapter 13, 24 and following. The Lord will say on that judgment day these words. In verse 24 it says, "And he said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door." Remember, in other scriptures it says, wide is the road of destruction and narrow is the road of salvation. Here it says, through the narrow door, salvation. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house, in other words, once God Almighty stands up in heaven and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, please open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you. Where do you come from? And then you will say, we ate and drank with you. In other translations, it says, were we not in the presence? Were we not in your presence? And you taught in our streets. And you taught in our churches. But he will reply, I don't know you. Where you come from? Then he will say, away from me, all you evildoers. And there will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth. You'll find the same scripture in Revelation. Isn't it interesting that when things go bad, when things go wrong, when this country is brought to its needs, the only person, the first person we go to blame is God? Here's where I'm going with this passage. The door of salvation is wide open right now. But one day, judgment will come. And the question is not if you know him. Listen to this. It's not the question if you know him. It's the question, does he know you? Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, it says this. Those people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Do you see it? There will be many people that come to church and pretend, you see, they come with this face and saying, everything's okay in my life. I'm a Christian. I know the Lord. But they fail to understand this simple concept. And that is, does God know you? Does God know you? There are people here today who are saved. I believe that with all my heart. But you have stepped away. You have stepped away knowing. Maybe you're here today because you've been broken. But I want to tell you something. God can make you new. He can make you new. And maybe you can relate to Gomer. Maybe you've said to yourself, I won't go back to that sin. Time after time you fell, and you fall back into the pit that you were once rescued out of. And maybe you feel that it's too late for you, this late in the game, that you feel that you're not good enough, or you somehow, someone has told you that you're disqualified. And that's what the enemy wants to tell you. That's what he will continue to tell you time after time, but you need to be aware that is a lie of the enemy. You see, if he can take you and take your hope, he can destroy you. And so often we give it to him. Here's the beauty of this story. We know that Gomer left. We know that. We read it in the story, but I don't want you to miss this. Hosea did not leave Gomer. You know why? Because salvation doesn't leave you. We leave salvation. We need to get a hold of that. Salvation is open door for you. It doesn't leave you. Hosea didn't leave her. Gomer left Hosea. Salvation doesn't leave you. We leave salvation. We don't know why Gomer decided to leave and run away with this guy. But what we do know is that she was broken. And that's the story of many of us today. Sin has a way to lure us in back to itself. Because sin is fun. Now you might be sitting there and it's like, I've never heard a pastor say that before. Sin is fun. It is fun. And you're like, no, 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 pastor. Sin is not fun. No, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. Because sin is fun, but here's the thing. It always has a price tag. It always has a price tag, young people. The Bible says what seems right to a man leads to death. All right? And here's the thing, and I preached this about a year ago when we talked about sin, and I think it's pretty good that we bring it back up again. It's important that we bring it back up again. Let me tell you about sin real quick. Sin is fun, but it always has a price tag. And if you're taking notes, write this down. It will cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay, young people. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And last but not limited to, it will take you further than you want to go. It will take you further than you want to go. So Gomer goes off with this guy, and one day he disowns her. He walks away from her and leaves her because that's what the world does. You see, the world has a way to lure you in by saying, hey, this will make you happy. This will give you peace. This will give you joy. This will fulfill you. And then it walks away from you and leaves you empty and broken. And many of you know what I'm talking about. This is why so many people walk around just emptiness in their lives. And then they try to fill this emptiness and the brokenness in them with other stuff. Sometimes they might say, I'll marry Mr. Right, or you know, maybe that'll fix all my problems. Maybe if I have enough money in the bank account. Maybe if I just supplement what's broken, I'll be fulfilled. Now, Gomer is left alone in another city and only to go back to her old lifestyle. She sells her body. In short, what she does is she sells herself back into slavery. That's what she does. Because that's the only thing she knew. Now, don't miss this, because she's still married to salvation. She's still married to Hosea. In the spiritual terms, she still has salvation, but she's just not living for Christ. Here's the cool thing. Jesus never gives up on us. He's not giving up on you this morning. His desire today is not to get you back. Please understand that. His desire is not to get you back. His desire is to bring you back. To bring you back, because when you're brought back to the truth, then you're complete. To place you in a place that you continue to be completed. To make you into the person that He's called you to be. And somehow the story goes on that Hosea hears about Gomer, that she's on the auction block. And I'm sure his friends were like, "Hey, Gomer, hey, we heard Hosea, we've heard Gomer's on the auction block. You know, good, you know, she deserves what she's getting. She hurt you, she left you." And if we're not careful, we can become those people too. That when people are hurting, the first thing that we do is become accusative. And we turn people away. But Hosea had a very different response. And let's pick it up in verse 3, chapter 3. I believe I might have the wrong verse here, so just bear with me. It's up behind me. "And then the Lord told me, 'Love your wife again, even though she is loved by others and committed adultery. Love her as I, the Lord, love the Israelites, even though they have turned to other gods and love to eat the raisin cakes.'" Now, the raisin cakes were things that were given to the idols as atonement or as a gift. And that's what he's talking about. So here's the translation of this. God says to Hosea, "Salvation never leaves. Go and pursue your wife." I believe that is what Jesus is saying this morning. Maybe for some of you, you've walked away from God. And make no mistake, that God has brought you here for a very special invitation to bring you back to fellowship with Him again, to restore the fellowship that you might once had. In verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2, it says this, "So he bought her with 23 ounces of silver." And what that is 15 shekels and 10 bushels of barley, which in terms was 430 pounds, a lot. In the book of Leviticus, it says that the price of a slave was 30 shekels, and he only had 15. And some scholars will argue, and they'll say that Hosea gave all that he had to get her back. In the same way, God has given everything to bring you back. He gave it all through Jesus, your salvation, which cost him the blood of his son, that you might have an abundant life and that you would have life forever. You must know that Jesus did not change the cross. He went to the cross, he went through the tomb so that you could have life this morning. He gave it all for you. He gave it all for you. In Hosea chapter 3, verse 3, it says this, "And I told her, 'You are to live with me many days, and you must not be a prostitute or intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way towards you.'" What was he saying? He was saying, "Gomer, come home. And if you will be mine, I will be yours. And we can make these things right. What has happened in the past will stay in the past. Come home, and we'll make this right going forward." And that's the invitation that Christ is giving you this morning. You see, you've been tied up a lot. broken, thinking there's no way God could love me. If you're taking notes this morning, I need you to write this down because this is so important. This wraps up this message in just one saying. Only Jesus can take us from broken to brand new. Only Jesus can take us from broken to brand new. So in closing, you must understand that He has a plan for your life. In spite of your past, in spite of where you've been or what you look like, in spite of your education or your lack of, you matter to Him. You see, Jesus can take everything that anybody has said to you and erase it. You no longer can be are determined by those things that people have said about you. Who you were is not who you're going to be. It doesn't matter who your daddy is. Your past is no longer your present. It's no longer has a hold on you. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Word of God says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, and the old is gone, and the new has begun. Long before you showed up on this planet, Jesus had a purpose for your life. Long before you made a decision to follow Him, Jesus had His eyes on you. And long before you ever gave Him your heart, He provided the grace that began to work the salvation in your new life. You see, you have a purpose, and He has given us a purpose. And we read that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says this, "But you who are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into this wonderful light." Amen. This is what I need you to know this morning, is that you were put on this earth to show God's goodness, to tell others about His goodness, to tell others about His mercy, and to tell others that they matter too. Because only Jesus can take us from broken to brand new. Will you pray with me? Father God, I pray right now that You would become real to us today. God, I pray that we would become aware of our sinfulness. That, Lord God, we would become more aware that no matter what we've done in our past, like Gomer, that You still love us and that You still bring salvation to us, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would experience Your love and Your grace through Him. Here we are, God. Break us, search us, and send us. If you're here this morning and you say, "Pastor, that was just speaking to me. I have stepped away. I have walked away. Or maybe I've just been faking it just to make it today." I want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. That's not my style. Because in the end, it's only between Him and you, not between me and you. And so I'd like to pray with you this prayer, to ask Jesus to come into your heart and change you from the inside out. With every head bow and every eye closed, would you pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins and make me brand new. Jesus, I believe that You love me and You died for me. You rose again so that I could live for You. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit so that I can follow You every day of my life. I believe in You, and I believe that You have forgiven me. I belong to You. My life is Yours. Use my life to bring You glory, in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me?
Set a fire. control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you,
God. Hallelujah. You know, I don't think God's done here. If you have a need, I'm going to ask Dell to bring down the lights. I'm going to ask some of our elders to come up front. And, you know, maybe it's not salvation. Maybe you just have a prayer. Maybe you just need something broken through. You need victory in your life. Maybe you're filled with doubt. And it's got a hold of you so much that it's eating you like cancer. We've got elders up here in the front that will take your personal prayers and take them before the Lord. Yes, you could do it on your own, but sometimes we just need help. And we're in this together, so there's no shame. So if that's you this morning, would you come up? Let us pray with you as we continue to sing.
Soul. that I can't contain, can't control. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, can't control. I want more of you, God. Thank you.